This is the Tanakh Podcast with Alex Israel. Today, Zephaniah Perek Bet, Chapter 2. Before we start today, I just want to share some wonderful, wonderful news. And that is that this podcast, the Tanakh Podcast, has now had 100,000 plays, 100,000 chapters listened to. And that just makes me really delighted. Thank God the Tanakh Podcast is being met with a great deal of success. And I want to thank all of those people who contribute on Patreon, all the people who are supporting, all of you who are listening day by day. And I just want to thank you all for your support as we pass this major landmark. Our podcast for today and every day is dedicated to our brave IDF soldiers for their safety and success, for the swift return of all the hostages, and for the refuah shlema of all those injured in this war in Gaza. So let's take a look at Zephaniah Perek Bet. Our chapter splits into two. The first three psukim deal with a call to teshuvah, a call to repentance, for the people to repent. The last section, or the major section of the chapter, is a series of oracles against a range of different nations and how they're all going to meet their demise. I think what we're going to do is focus on the first section. And here, let's remind ourselves. Zephaniah has spent chapter 1 predicting the terrors of the fast approaching Babylonian Empire. His hope is that these fears will become a springboard for meaningful change, for tshuva, a catalyst for the people to reform their ways. Of course, there are no promises, but he uses the term ulai tisatru beyon charonaf Hashem. Possibly, perhaps, you can save yourselves. So how do we begin chapter 2? The language here is very, very difficult. Hitkosheshu v'koshu hagoy lo nichsaf. I'll use the standard translation here. Gather together, gather, you shameless people. Beterem ledechok, before the decree is born. Kamot avarayom, before the opportunity disappears, like the chaff flies away. Beterem lo yavo alichem charonaf Hashem, beterem lo yavo alichem yom af Hashem, before the fierce of anger of God overtakes you, before the day of anger arrives. And he says, bakshu et Hashem, instead seek God, ulai tisatru, perhaps you might escape, biyom charon af Hashem, on the day of God's fury. But let's go back to the first verse. What are they being asked to do? Hit kosheshu v'koshu. Tough language, what does it mean? Rashi says, Hidlaktu v'asfu yachad kamo l'koshesh kash. What one does in the field at the end of the reaping season is one gathers in all of the chaff, one gathers in all of the hay. So what he says here is, gather, like you gather the hay, gather the Jewish people together. How's this going to help? Well, maybe it's sort of like Queen Esther. Lech knoset kol ha'yehudim. Go gather everybody together, gather all the Jews, fast, pray. Maybe that's what they're being asked to do. But possibly we might read it a different way. Maybe it's not merely about gathering the hay, but the imagery might refer to winnowing, the process for separating grain from the chaff, separating good from bad or worthless. And in that case, Zephaniah is warning the nation against being like the chaff, the worthless part of the harvest that is easily and quickly blown away in the wind. The people need to ensure that they are worthy, they are the grain and not the chaff. When the wind of judgment will blow through the nation, then the people will be separated into the righteous, the grain, and the wicked, the chaff. So hit kosheshu v'koshu, from the word kosh, from the word hay or chaff, means winnow yourselves, keep away from the wicked, be the grain, be worthy. So Rashi is basically saying, gather together, maybe for prayer, maybe for fasting, for tshuva, And what we're saying, according to the second possibility, is to separate yourself. But Chazal took this in a very interesting direction. Already maybe it starts, or maybe in our commentaries, we can see it in the Ibn Ezra, who says, "Hitvakchu v'hochichu," which means, you know, argue between yourselves and issue rebuke. The rabbis, in their midrashic way, spoke about the importance of a change from a perspective of integrity. And they said, "Hitkosheshu v'koshu," means kshot atzmecha v'achakach kshot acherim. Adorn yourself and afterwards adorn others. And what they mean by that is act properly yourselves before requiring others to do so. What exactly do they mean? I guess the only way I can really explain this is by means of a story told in the Gemara in Baba Batra Daf Samach. And it goes like this. Rabbi Yanai havale ilan hanoteh l'reshut harabim. Rabbi Yanai had a tree that was leaning into the public domain. And there was another man in the town who also had a tree that was leaning into the public domain. Suddenly, the local authorities insisted that the other man, not Rabbi Yanai, had it cut down. So he comes to Rabbi Yanai, who apparently is the rabbi of the town, and he said to him, "Look, they've asked me to cut down my tree. What do you advise me to do?" Rabbi Yanai says to him, "Go home and come back tomorrow." That night, Rabbi Yanai sent someone to cut down the tree that belonged to him. The man came to him the next day, and Yanai says to him, "Cut down your tree." He says, "I don't understand. Why should I cut down my tree? You also have a tree that leans into the public domain." Rabbi Yanai said, "Well, why don't you go and see if mine is cut down? If mine is cut down, then you're going to need to cut yours as well." And sure enough, right, he goes to look down and he sees that Rabbi Yanai's tree is cut down too. The Gemara says, why did he tell the man to return the next day? Why didn't he go and say to him, "Go cut down your tree and I'll cut down my tree"? And here we get to the critical line, and they quote our chapter in Tzfanya, because they say, "Hitkosheshu v'koshu," right? Straighten yourself, and here they're using the word kshot, hitkosheshu. Maybe the word kshot means truth. Deal with your own truth. It could also mean to decorate or to adorn yourself. Straighten yourself, deal with your own truth, and then only afterwards bring the truth to others. In other words, act properly yourself before requiring others to do so. This is what we used to call in Bnei Akiva, dugma ishit, a personal example. You can't really stand and rebuke others or give a ethical lesson to others if you yourself haven't demonstrated that you are keeping that practice yourself. By the way, the Talmud in Sanhedrin discusses, for example, whether a leader who has immunity, like a king or a president, can be a judge in a trial. And similarly, it quotes this teaching of Reish Lakish, that straighten yourself before you straighten others. And what they mean by that is that if you're not subject to judgment yourself, you may not judge others, right? You need to provide a personal example. And I find this so interesting, because what Tzfanya is asking people to do is he's asking people to somehow reform their ways, to do tshuva. And what he's essentially saying is, or the way the rabbis read it was, hitkosheshu v'koshu. If you want to find a way to improve yourself, right, always look at yourself first. Don't start casting aspersions and say, "Well, those people in that sector need to change. Those people to the right of me, those people to the left of me, those people in that community, they've got problems." No, no, no. Make sure that your house is in order first. Hit kosheshu, right? Clear up your own straw, the koshu, and then go out and clear the straw somewhere else. But first, deal with things in your own backyard. First, make sure that you are kashot, that you are truth, before you go to other people to demand the truth from them. And I think that's a great moral lesson that we can all learn from. That's it for today. See you tomorrow.